Recorder is on.
Good afternoon, commissioners. We need to stand at this time if we can for the Pledge of Allegiance. And Sandra, would you please?
There's no flag. We don't do that here.
Is there a flag in here?
No.
Oh, yeah.
This is sign like a flag. Or those trees.
I don't know why there's a flag in here. That's kind of weird. I brought in the flag.
Okay, to real rise and.
Back when I was a week old.
That's a little later.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Almost accidentally did the deal.
Hell yeah.
To the preamble of the Constitution.
Right. Oh, there's Mr. Hill. He tried to steal my package.
I finally got mine.
Oh, did you? Yeah. You know, I've told him the guy. Sorry, this is neighborhood business, but my packages were delivered to his house. He brought very nicely, brought them down to me the next day. But then his package went missing. So I talked to the UPS guy the next day. I said, oh, it looks like you had a hard time finding the address. And he said, well, no. You got his packages. I said, I didn't get any packages. He was so confused.
He was. It was the Freedom Man across the street.
Oh, no kidding.
They got them. But I didn't find out until that following week or so.
Did you reorder?
No. You know. Sorry. We're
fitting. Facebook each other or something.
Sorry.
This is all being recorded.
Oh, good.
Which is okay. We're just supporting our meetings and have fun. So, and I can't believe we have, I checked with Lisa this morning. I said, do we have a quorum? She said, well, you haven't heard from me, so we have a quorum. Everybody's here. Congratulations. Wonderful to see everybody. So I will call the meeting to order. And roll call. Could we just go around the room?
Okay. Nick Cataldo.
Here. Could you tell what council or what council?
Oh, okay.
Mayor.
Commissioner appointed by Henry Nickel, the fifth ward.
Sandra Owen Olivas, Commissioner, first ward.
Susie Earp, Commissioner, Mayor.
D. Truex, Commissioner of the Second Ward, appointed by the Mayor.
Aaron Cox, I live in the Seventh Ward. I've been appointed by Second Ward Council.
Jimmy Hill, appointed by Jim Mulville.
Alan Bone, Mayor appointee.
And Jim Smith, appointed by Fourth Ward, Fred Schreff. Okay, do we have any public comments? For items not on the agenda, we'll start with, why don't we start on this side. Alan, did you have any comments not on the agenda?
I don't think so today.
Okay. Mr. Hill?
No, I don't. Okay.
By the way, before we continue on, yes, I want to acknowledge, would you like to introduce your relative here?
This is my father, Jack Hill. And I don't know if this is appropriate time to say it. We just got back from Washington, D.C. He was selected to go on the honors flight for World War II veterans.
Oh,
and so
he
got to Washington. So he just got back last night.
Right. Oh, that's neat. Nice. Nice. I've slept since, I bet.
No.
Good to see you.
Jim, can I?
Yes, go ahead, please.
There's a public comment. These are from the public, not
right.
Not
yeah,
direct.
Yeah, we're number... number six is the commissioners.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
public comments.
We'll do that later on then. That's fine. Not a problem. And I, Mr. Hill, did you have anything you'd like to share?
No, thank you.
From the public here? Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Has everybody received the minutes from our last meeting?
Yes.
And if you'd like to renew those.
For some reason, I still can't open those on my computer in that PDF file. And I had my daughter look at it, too, and I don't know how to...
Did you want to look at these? Or?
I can watch here. But I don't know. Anybody else here have a Mac? That they use?
I have a Mac.
And it opens for you?
Yeah, it did. The first time Melissa sent me the message, I have two different email addresses. First time it did, and the second time it opened. So I... But I sent you a copy. You got the copy from me.
No, I haven't.
What did I send you? I forwarded to you, too.
They're also posted on the website.
Okay.
Every commission has their agenda posted on the website and the meeting portal. Where the mayor common council agenda is, there's also the Historic Preservation Commission, and the agenda is there.
Nick usually shoots them over.
And I sent it to you, but it didn't come.
I'll figure it out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody will figure it out for me.
Yes,
has everyone else had a chance to look at the minutes? I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, I move that make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
A second.
Any corrections, additions? If not, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor of the minutes as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Okay. Now, announcements by the commissioner. And I think, Mr. Hill, did you have anything you wanted to share?
No.
Okay. Mr. Cox?
Nothing at this time, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Rox?
Nothing to report at this time.
My only bit is to say that we're 200 photos away from having 100,000 historic aerial photos in our aerial photo collection, which is really amazing. They're mostly of Riverside and San Bernardino County. So they start late 1920s and go forward to 2012.
Now that's a Cal State, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Salinas, anything else?
No.
Okay. I had a comment. Yeah, you get done, I have one thing.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Museum Association of Redlands offered to the Historical Society the historical area of Scoobia up in Cajon Pass. It's 28 acres. They date it back to 4,000 to 5,000 years ago with the Serrano Indians. And the first settlers that came through there, they saw the reed huts and stuff. And then later on, the Mormons camped there, calling it the Willows. Most of it was destroyed by the fire just recently, the caretaker's house. But the Pioneer Historical Society in 1916 erected an obelisk monument there, the Stoddard Waite Monument. We also have another monument there, too. They offered it the property for $88,000, which is like $2 million to what we get. So we talked to them, and they dropped it down to $20,000. So we're in the process of trying to talk to San Manuel. They weren't interested in it, which I was surprised. But we're going to try to talk to San Manuel about funding it for us, deeding the property to the Historical Society. We do the maintenance and the rejuvenation of the stuff that was done, and then have an agreement with them that anything that's altered or any work that's to be done up there would be approved by their cultural commission. So that's what we're in the works of doing now.
Okay. Sandra, did you have anything to share?
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on that I know about. On December 3rd, Winter Wonderland will be again at Parasol Park. Last year, we had it on the 5th of December, which was 3 days after the terrorist attack here at San Bernardino. We had about 8,000 people out that day, including kids and stuff like that. And so this will be actually the day after the first anniversary. I invite everybody to come out. We have snow hills and vendors. If you've never been to the Roosevelt Bowl and actually listen to entertainment in the Roosevelt Bowl, this is your chance to come out and experience what the Roosevelt Bowl is like. Also, there an event on October 29th from 10 to 2 at Littlefield Schultes Park. We're having a Halloween event there with Frankenstein Park. We also have a farmer's market there that is the second and fourth Saturdays. Yeah, I'm trying to keep my days straight. Right now, the downtown market, we're only open for the third Thursday this month, and then next month we'll start back up being open every week. It's just too hot. People don't want to come out. So come out and join us for Food Truck Thursdays. We'll have vendors out. And then again in November, come start shopping for Christmas and hanging out with some of us downtown for lunch on Thursdays. That's all I have.
You're having some music?
Music, oh yeah, at Parasol Hard Cap.
Where are the hours
that 10 to 2.
10 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is the symphony not helping playing occasionally on Thursdays or not?
Oh, no, that's separate. That's the city's end of it. They're the ones that do all the music and all that. I just have the vendors inside of the inside area.
Yeah, that's your responsibility.
That's my responsibility. The other part is Lisa's.
So, yes, the symphony has been there for 2 months.
Yes.
And they were outside of City Hall today also.
Yeah, I read that they were here. And they were at the courthouse, too.
I'm not sure.
Last couple of weeks ago, yeah.
There
so
is.
They received a large grant to fund all this. So it was great. Bringing culture back to San Francisco. That's important. Anything else?
That's it.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, a couple things. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call from a woman named Anna Maria Venturelli. And I had met her briefly about a year ago after the car event, and it was a great race. She mentioned that she owns the historic Garner block over on D Street. And for those of you that don't know where it is, it's on the west side of D between Court Street and 4th. And it dates back certainly to the 1880s, and we're pretty sure back to 1877. She's owned the building for about 2.5 years. We've had our historical study. A few members had a meeting with her a couple times last week or so. And she said she was going to stop by here for public comments, and she's not here, so that's what it is. But anyway, she owns the building. She would like to refurbish the building and for repurpose. I mean, she knows there's work needing to be done. Other needs a new roof. There's a lot of problems inside internally. The building's not up to earthquake code. It's probably not that anybody's going to, but it needs to be done. We're not getting a long story, but she and her husband had, accounting firm. I can't remember what kind of firm it was. But anyway, she put her money into the building, and now she doesn't have much money other than that. So I mentioned her. She talked to me about finding out more about the history of the building, which I gave her a lot of the history, ideas of how they can, how she can refurbish it. And some ideas of, because you go to little towns like, we went to Leadville, Colorado, and some of these towns are all old buildings and they're all used for something, not just museums. They're used for department stores, a bank, a saloon, a bar, or whatever. So, I applaud her for that. And she wants ideas, but she, is seeking, connections of who can do the repair work. And as far as cost, mentioned as a historical site, we're not a prop. We don't have the money. But I mentioned, that if she likes, she can come for public comments at the Historic Preservation Commission of her, because it is historic preservation. She owns a building that we've talked about often, about preserving it. And we, nothing else, if she could just, get to know some commissioners. But unfortunately, in this case, she's not here. So I don't know if she can come back later. Yes.
That's okay. I have a lot of concerns about that building. The roof's caving in.
Yeah.
We closed City Hall for 2 days because of the earthquake issues. That would be one of the other buildings that would come tumbling down.
Yeah, it hasn't since 1887.
Well, I'm not even worried about my house coming down. My house was built in 1888. It's withstood a lot of earthquakes, okay? But I'm just going to be very blunt about this. If I had a tarp over my house like that, code enforcement would have been there like that. Does she have any money to work on this building?
I don't know. It's not like her money has been put into the building. I know that she's talked to Mark Christico, and I believe, I'm not sure if Lisa or in city, you know, with community development before. Is her name self familiar? Anna Maria?
Yes, she's talked to our counter staff, and she's met with Mark. She met with Jim Sowers when he was here. Yeah. And when you asked for me to agendize her.
Yeah.
But...
I understand that right now.
Yeah. We have the broader topics of URMs on the agenda. We felt it was probably a better idea to talk about the broader topic rather than single out one individual building. Like I mentioned to you, if she wants, you know, to know what that area is zoned for, she needs to come to the counter, talk to our counter staff, and they'll be able to help her.
At that time, I didn't realize she, you know, she mentioned that she had met Mark Brasico, but I didn't know to what extent she had gotten to know at City Hall. I don't know if any of the other commissioners have met her before. Perhaps you all have, or maybe met her. So I figure, as a historic preservation commission, because she owns a building we've talked about preserving, or it would be nice to be preserved. You know, if she was here just to present any, you know, just to get her voice heard, perhaps nothing can be done. But
Again, the role of this commission is not to provide advice on how people redevelop their building or preserve it, kind of a thing. I mean, that's another process. So if it's a matter of introductions, you know, so she can tap into your individual resources, then by all means she can do that at any time. I mean, but that's not something that the group would say, here's a building, here's what we think we should be done with it, these are recommendations, and then she goes forward.
Certainly apply for the Mills Act.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, everybody has advice for something. I mean, you write the Mills, that's
the tax. That's something.
But somebody may, I don't know.
Well, there's federal grants available for stuff like that, too.
Yeah, grants.
I don't know if it's through the TEA or what, but there are ones available, but she has to pursue those.
Sure. But she has to know. I guess she needs to find out, but I don't know. I guess sometimes you have to know. Somebody has to tell you there's something's out there. So that was my thing. I didn't know. Right. And the other thing, anybody else has a question? But and then one other thing is that this coming Saturday at Mountain View Cemetery, we're having our third annual historic tour of Mountain View Cemetery. And from 3 o'clock until 6. And anyone wants to talk more about it? I mean, I'm right for the Sun, so I put an article in the Sun. There's been advertising, you know, so you're on my email list. You know about the Sun.
I'm going to put you back on my spam.
What's that? Oh, am I on your spam list?
Well, that's just the third email. Yeah. Get about 3 of them for all of
you. That's it.
That's great. Well, thank you very much. Just a couple of quick things. I think we've all heard of this before, but there's two very important educational facilities here in San Bernardino, Cal State San Bernardino, Cal State University, and also San Rio Valley College. And as I'm sure all of you are aware, that Cal State San Bernardino is 50 years old. Actually, last year going into this year, they've had it all year wrong. And so the Native Sons are going to be presenting a plaque to them on October 31st. That's going to be in the afternoon. I don't know specifically what the time is, but it's after their meetings on a Monday. That's when all of the heads of all the departments meet. It'll be after their meeting. And then on the 29th of November, San Rio Valley College is 90 years old this year. And so actually what we'll be doing for them, the Native Sons, is presenting them an historic marker I'm sure that you've seen those around the city. There's one at like St. Bernard's Church right outside with the airhead. We're going to present that to them to put on probably Mount Vernon Avenue, so when people drive by, they'll say, oh, gee, you're 90 years old. So anyway, those are a couple things. Also, just in process, there is, you were talking about cooperation with other historical groups in town. There's an organization called Friends of the Arrowhead. Right now, it's just comprised of like two people. Willard Monninger, I think some of you knew Willard. That was his big project. He passed away about 4 years ago. His daughters took care of the viewing station, which is up on Waterman, I believe.
Right above Wildwood Park.
Wildwood Park. And so so when he passed away and the daughters did it for 2 or 3 years, now it's another transition going. The two remaining individuals that are still on the Friends of the Area are Jack Brown and Bruce Varner, who's a prominent attorney in Riverside. They're in the process of transitioning that to the Naval Sons. So at some point, we'll be taking responsibility, but we're going to be calling other historical groups. We'll be working with and talking specifically. They do have some seed money that they'll be turning over to us to help maintain that. Plus the fact that you work with, of course, the Forest Service personnel to maintain the beauty of the area on the hill. So that's moving ahead. There's nothing in written form, but those talks are moving forward. So I just wanted to share that with the commissioners today. Okay. Before we continue on, Susie, could you give us an update on that wonderful thing you shared with us last month about, or 2 months ago, about your daughter being looking into how the structure of...
Yeah, she's working on a master's thesis about updating our historic preservation code. So she's working on that, and she's still working on it, as far as I know. Lisa, she has tried to contact you several times.
I received one email. Mark and I are drafting a response back.
Okay.
Is this a code or an ordinance?
I don't know. Tell you the truth. Is it a code what we have now? Or do we have an ordinance now?
We have an ordinance.
I think it's an ordinance, right? What she's doing?
We're not sure yet. I think we're developing the scope of what the work's going to be.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she's been working with you.
Yeah, I know she's gone down to Fullerton, to the Balcom Center, and done some research down there. I gave her a bunch of stuff that, you know, over the years that I've got.
It's my understanding that we're looking at what she's proposing and kind of the scope of the work and whether or not it applies to the city or this group,
right?
You know, in general. And
yeah. Well, I mean, whether it be useful for our group or not, who knows?
Sure. The only reason I mentioned that, I think, you know, as we create new agendas every 2 months, and I think that's a good time for us to be, you know, on this first Monday, or the second Monday. It's kind of history. You know, I was gone last week, and I want to thank Nick for coordinating all this with Lisa, but, you know, the question came up about, gee whiz, it's the same day as the city council meeting, you know, but we decided, no, we can be, I mean, our members don't really go to the city council meetings, I guess Sandra does, but anyway, that's so, and I'm really glad that we decided to go ahead and have this meeting tonight, but I'm just talking about, from a timing standpoint, it would be appropriate at some time, and I go with your judgment on this, when you think it would be appropriate, possibly working with Susie, if her daughter would like to come to one of our meetings and share with what she's doing. I mean, it's not,
maybe this is
way down the line, but
yes.
I think we should keep that.
Well, again, we're working with her on the scope of what she's doing, and at the end of the day, it needs to be, you know, relative to what the purview of the committee is. You know, is it applicable? And from that point, yes, then we can I'll provide a report, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, if it's appropriate or not, right.
So
you'll be
That's right. We have an existing code.
We have an ordinance.
We have an existing ordinance. Okay. Right. And when was that last updated, or do we know?
It's the one I gave you.
Yeah, I've got it.
So...
Last revised in 2009, this one?
Right, last revised September 24th, 2009. Historical Preservation Commission outlines the mission, the purpose.
And I think the addition was the absence thing. I know we changed that piece of it, but that's all.
That would have been a reso that you voted on.
Okay. And then we changed.
There's the historic building demo ordinance as well.
So we'll update you as that communication with her continues.
Okay.
And I'll advise you where we can go from there.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. When was the last time this was changed? 1982, did you say, or 2009?
Last revision, 2009.
Okay. So that's about 7 years. Oh, 2009, 7 years ago. You know, it's important that we have some projects going for the year, you know, as our commission. I know that I had a conversation offline with Commissioner Cox, and he wants to do some things this year, you know, some additional things because he has a little bit more time. And I think it's important that we seek out specific jobs. Like, for example, I don't know if this needs to be revised again. I know it's been 7 years, but it's always nice to know that information so that we can move forward. And I know that a person that's been a tremendous asset to me and to all of us is Nick. And, you know, Nick and Susie, of course, are the senior members of this commission. And I rely on their help.
You're older than I am.
If you don't mind, if we could move on to item number 8, I mean, there are a couple of updates. You know, we have the Mills Act workshop.
Wonderful.
You know, that's coming up. I mean, you know, applications are traditionally due like in June.
Yes.
Christmas is already here, so June's around the corner, sort of a thing. And so, you know, when you talk about, you know, kind of the role and responsibilities and what have you of this committee or commission, one of those is soliciting those type of applications. And 100%. So you are our voice out there, you know, in the community. So if you have those individuals that own properties or buildings that would apply and make sense to put an application together, you know, now is kind of the time to start those conversations. And if they need more information about the process or what's needed or what have you, they can contact myself or Lisa. We can,
sure.
We can guide them through that process. We'll be putting together the applications to put those on the website. And so, you know, kind of to get that going. But, you know, it's really, you know, that's kind of one of the roles of this commission as well, mm-hmm. is not only to just review the applications but encourage people to,
sure.
You know, to file. You know, to bring something in. And so we'll be working on that. You know, like I said, it's essentially it'll be around the corner. I know Lisa doesn't like to turn the pages of the calendar that quickly, but
time goes by real fast.
It does. And you know, our next meeting will be in December, and so you know, a lot will happen between now and then. And you know, by that time, we should really be thinking about what kind of applications we'd like to bring before the group. You know, for consideration. So that's something on the Mills Act. Another item, we got the unreinforced masonry.
Well, could I
sure, talk
about that just briefly? And I appreciate what you're sharing here. I'm very much in a process oriented fellow, you know, because that's worked for a lot of organizations I belong to, and I'm also very involved with marketing. So that goes right into the sack. Is there any source, public source, that you might have privy to of individuals that own property here that would qualify for the Mills Act, In other words, what I'm saying is we could create a majority. We could create a date for a workshop, and then if we could have a list of the individuals that would qualify with their, I think that would be a wonderful thing for us to do, is to reach out to them and invite them to a workshop. That is something that would be viable.
This would be similar to what we've had.
Well, the list would be the Donaldson Report.
Exactly, yeah, which is outdated.
Excuse me.
Yes, go ahead.
The Donaldson Report is outdated, except for the first part, because I've gone through mine. All my housing stock, all my buildings, mine's complete. At one time, I asked this commission to take your ward, go through the Donaldson Report on the buildings that are there or are no longer there, and just mark them off if they're not there. I've already done that. When I just go knock on doors of these buildings, you know, how many homes do we have on Mayfield? One, two, and then what? Two around the corner and on Arrowhead. I just went knocked on doors. You know, if you don't have the addresses for the buildings on the Donaldson Report, does everybody not have the addresses for the buildings on the Donaldson Report? I just have the addresses. I just have this back part of it that actually has it listed address by address, just the addresses. Yeah, just the addresses. Nick, if since Nick has the whole thing in the CD, then if you would contact, I would say if you contact Nick or somebody else who has that DVD, then all Nick has to do is run it and print you out and send you a PDF, and you can go through your ward and find out what buildings are eligible. Knock on the door. Say, I am the Historical Preservation Commissioner for this ward. Are you interested? This is what it can do for you. How long have you owned your home? Well, it probably wouldn't work for you because you owned your home and earlier, that it's just not such a good deal. But let's have a conversation. And that's how I did it. I just went door to door of everybody around me and just talked to them. And the ones that couldn't write in English, I wrote theirs for them. And I had talked to the city attorney's office. That was fine. But the only thing of it is, if that house is within so many feet of your home, then you can't vote on that house. Okay? Because it would be a conflict of interest.
Sure.
But I think that's just, it's to hit the ground. You got to walk it. You got to, and know those addresses. And like I said, if you want to contact me, mine isn't split up ward by ward. It's just street by street. So if you want to contact me, if you're like, well, I think this house may be one, just email me and I'll look it up in my book and I can tell you. I know the book I have is 140 pages. I think the one I showed you that one time is like 140 pages. So my council person, Virginia Marquez, I brought it to her and I said, can you print this for me? And she used her budget to print it. So my suggestion would be to go to your council person that appointed you and say, okay, out of your budget, can you print this up for me because I need this for what I do on this commission? And ask that way. But that's the only way we're going to get it done, is you got to hit the ground. And when you see a house isn't there and you know it's on the report, mark it off. Say it's not there.
Now, we had a couple workshops 2 or 3 years ago, 2 years in a row, and that helped out. That was 1 year we had, I believe it was nine applicants. So that's, we can do that again. It's been a couple of years now.
Was that held? Oliver mentioned, you know, the time is going by.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have the meeting in December, then the next week is February, and the deadline is June. So I would think if any workshop that we have, it should be
meeting during spring
early. Probably no later than February to get them, you know, that time period. But in the meantime, I think Chair Olivas has said, no, I'm just kidding. I think that would be great. Could you work with Oliver on making sure that all of the commissioners have that list, just the list that maybe you could just, we maybe we could just print that out.
Sure. Yes. The address list.
I think everyone should. Well,
we all have it.
I didn't receive it when I became a guest.
I think I got this when I first started with the commission. Yeah. Quite, no, we have the book, but I mean, as far as a list of the people in the Donald's report, I think that's what we need. Yeah. And then, because that's what Sandra is asking, is to go identify the houses in our
ward. What's going to be out of date is the owners of those houses.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the owners aren't listed. What's this?
No, I have the just addresses.
This is just a portion of the list. This does not list all the addresses. This lists the house that
we're in districts, right?
No, this would be.
Oh, it's broken down into types of houses. What makes them unique?
The DVD is what gives you the list.
The book that I have is Volume 1, which lists all of the addresses and the APN. This has some addresses that would most definitely work, but as you can see, the second part of these aren't always filled out.
Is it possible to get the updated owner information from the city records?
County has updated owner information. Okay. The city does not.
Okay. You know what? And I would personally be offended if somebody looked up my address and my APM and came to my house and knocked at my door and said, "Hello, Sandra." I would be very offended.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, how many doors are you going to knock on where it's a rental?
It doesn't matter.
You can be a rental and be on the mill side.
Oh, so the owner of the house, whoever the owner is.
So a renter can put that house on the mill side. That's what I'm saying. You knock on the door and they rent,
Unless they give you the landlord's information.
You have to track down.
It's an awkward situation. So, I don't know. In my opinion, those workshops that we held at the Historic Society brought out people that were interested in historic preservation of their homes. Then that's when you approach them. Yeah, because they're already interested. They're a homeowner. They want to do something about preservation. Going door to door, unless you really know those neighbors, that can be a really awkward situation.
We also, at one point, mapped out, I don't know if any of the commissioners remember, mapped out all of the houses on a map.
And sent them postcards.
Sent them letters.
Letters, yes, we did.
And we received no replies.
Yes. So I don't see that as being very viable.
The workshops tend to be the best way to get applications.
And the workshop, especially when the one guy. He was really, really helpful.
The assessor's office?
The assessor's office guy.
I think his name, be retired. I'm not sure.
My gosh. He was incredible. Yes. He was a huge help.
Who's his replacement?
Bob Dutton. Right now, the county
is. Oh, he is. Okay.
But it was like the assistant that was here. It was one of the number two guys, I thought.
Okay,
it wasn't the head guy.
Here's another idea, too.
I went to high school.
There are neighborhood associations.
Yeah. That's
like
good. That's
Dr. Nag. Yeah. You know, there's a whole bunch of different neighborhood associations. We could approach the neighborhood associations and say we've got a 10-minute. Because I've done that, too. Mm-hmm. I've gone out to the neighborhood associations and given a 10-minute talk about the Mills Act and handed out applications. That's another way to get the word out. But I would say that's not as effective as that workshop was.
So how did you get the people to the workshop? What's the form of
communication? I wrote an article in the paper, and then also advertised, and I've got an email list. It's not 500 people on your list, so I just send them out, and I say, anybody, if you know somebody, I think of every person you send out to, if they know three people, it's 150,
it was packed.
Yeah. As Nick has said, that was successful. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel if we can use the same process. And I think what we're going to be finding is that the Donaldson Report, which is getting older and older, and as Lex Sandra says, sometimes there's that big change as far as, is the property even still there?
25 years old.
But this can be part of the process, too, is to update that Donaldson's Report and eventually maybe create another report that's more current. If you understand what I mean, because I mean, it was a 1999 now, Mr. Donaldson report. I think it's left just before that.
That's right.
What was it?
Or live 91.
91, yeah. So that's like 26 years ago.
A lot of buildings are gone.
So a lot of those buildings are gone. So there's...
And a lot of them would fit into the mill.
Yeah, a lot of them are additions.
Yeah, you're right. These are all 30 years old then.
Well, we can look into that and give you an update.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. So if we could create the same situation that we did a couple of years ago, and Nick is familiar with that process, so if you could work with Nick on that. And like I say, it's not a matter of reinventing the wheel. We don't want to create a lot of work for Lisa necessarily, but we have a process that was used that was successful before. Yes.
Through the chair, this commission set the workshop date, and this commission...
Yes, so we do want to set that date today. I think that would be a good idea. Absolutely, yeah, that's okay. That would be fine. So let's look at our calendars. We got the vice president here of the historical society. You can okay using the historical society again. I think we used that before. Yep, I can't vote on it. I used your picture. I know, not mine's not even on the Donaldson report. I'm not on the Mills Act. I applied. Oh, you didn't get it. No, I had issues. I didn't get it.
How about February 25th?
Your house is in the Mills Act, right, Sandra?
No.
I thought it was.
No. Sandy did not get her paperwork back in time the first year.
That's how we felt first.
Or the second year.
Why were you in the paper then? I remember they didn't have people on it.
Because I thought I was. Because the first year.
Did you say the 25th, Susie?
I said the 25th of February or March 11th.
Well, I think we should keep that.
Is on a Saturday, or do we want to use a regular... You don't want a historic...
I think Saturday.
Saturday.
No, the 25th, I can't do it. My wife has a...
Okay, well, then let's do the March 11th.
The 11th would be good. It's March 11th. March 11th.
What time?
March 11th.
You can't do it in February?
What? How about, well, we can do it in March. We can do February 18th.
I'd be careful of the three-day holidays, though, in there.
Yeah, and that's President's Day. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Okay.
So let's go with February 11th. On March 11th.
March 11th, I'm sorry.
Okay, let me ask you what time.
March, April,
how about
10?
In the morning?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I can't be there.
2 o'clock?
Can't be there until about around 3.
3 o'clock.
Saturday,
no,
that really
Saturday.
Takes
second, second and fourth Saturdays.
So you have March. That gives us.
You guys can do without me.
Yeah, that's true.
You guys can do without me.
But you're beneficial because you.
How about March 4th? Would that work?
March 4th is good.
Does that work for you, Susie?
March 4th is fine.
I think you should be there because you have an old house.
As far as I can tell, March 4th is fine.
Oh, I thought you said because I'm old.
No,
that's
it.
I'm old as a house. Okay, yeah, the 4th is great for me.
Okay, March 4th.
Yep, 4th.
Okay.
At 10.
March 4th?
Yeah. 10 o'clock?
Well, I don't know, 10. What do you think?
Who's bringing breakfast?
10, and that's donuts, not breakfast.
Oh, 10 in the afternoon?
No,
10. 10 in the afternoon.
It's the afternoon.
When is 10 afternoon?
Is that a good day for you?
Oh, yeah, March 4th is good.
Okay. I've never drunk 10 yet. Till 3?
That'll
be
at the Historical Society. Yeah.
Can I get a motion?
I make a motion that we have our Mills Act workshop on March 4th at 10 a.m. till when?
Midnight.
Noon.
No. 4 hours before.
2 o'clock, just like for stragglers, and we can help people fill out applications too.
All
right. With the caveat that the board members of the Historical Affairs Society agree to that.
I think when you advertise it, you shouldn't put it for 4 hours. That sounds overwhelming. I think two hours is a good block, and then 10 to 12. People could stay if they want, of course.
So the motion would be that we'll have the workshop
from 10 to 12?
Saturday, March 4th from 10 to 12 at the Historical Society's building. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. So 10
to 12. Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We're all set.
What's the address of the society again?
It's 796 North D Street, southwest quarter.
796
D and A.
It's a cute town.
So if you go, yeah, 10 to 12 in the night, first thing, you can spend time after that. People want it.
And excuse my ignorance, but yes, what is the significance of the deadline date?
That's when they have to have their application in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a date that was set, 2 years ago? It used to be later in the year, but we moved it to June. I think it's been June 30th for how long, Lisa? 3 years now?
About 2 years. It gives me time to prepare the agenda, prepare the contract, take it to council, have the applicant sign it, and record it at the county.
At
the end of the year.
Right. What's the progress on the one that we approved?
It's going to council in November.
It's going to council in November. Thank you.
That's great. Any other discussion on the workshop? Okay. And we know that we need to work to publicize this, to promote it, so I'll be getting together with you and Nick and Sandra, whoever would like to do that. We'll make sure that we have a good word to turn out.
And my next-door neighbor, the only one in my neighborhood that's eligible, I'll give them a flyer. You know, when I explained it to him, I wouldn't only explain it to him. I didn't explain it in a good way, but I know she has low property taxes. She's lived there for a long time, but I think I'm sure they'd be interested in sitting in a workshop and just getting a good explanation of what it is. Because they keep their house up really well. And
well, it wouldn't be beneficial if they've lived there a long time.
Because their tax is so low, you mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's probably why they weren't interested. But still, it wouldn't their taxes be halved? Whatever their taxes now, it'd be half, wouldn't it?
No.
Oh, it doesn't work that way? Oh, okay.
It would be when it's value taxed.
Okay.
It's not at the... If you already have Prop 13,
okay,
it's not beneficial at all.
Okay.
If I remember that, HARP.
HARP was the guy that was there. Yeah, HARP.
He mentioned that,
okay.
If you already have low, taxes and stuff.
Okay.
Dan Hart.
Dan, yeah.
So Bob Dutton is.
Yes, he's a current.
Do you have a contact? Or I can get.
Well,
I'd like to contact him for the meeting. That would be.
Sure.
Really.
Well, just call the office. Okay. I'm sure that he'll take your call.
Would it be beneficial to notify the realtor companies of this if we've got these homes up or properties up for sale, notify the realtors so they can get an education and educate their buyers to the fact that this property is eligible for as a possibility? I don't know how.
I get a lot of phone calls throughout the week of people who want to know if their house qualifies, and then when they find out that yes, your house qualifies, but you have to put that money back into your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's the rough part.
There's no additional follow-up.
Okay.
So I do receive, probably 4 phone calls a week.
Okay.
Wanting to know, what the benefit is. And if, and they're mostly from realtors or people looking to buy a home in the city.
Okay.
I would think, if everybody's going to put money in their house, and pretty much any money you invest in the house is exchangeable with that savings, pretty much, but... They did. That just kind of is a turnoff.
It is, because a lot of residents think that the city is giving them that money.
Right.
And so, if you look at it, that money's already in an impound account. That money's already being paid. For you to take it out of your impound account to pay half of it, you're actually taking money out of your physical hands.
Okay.
I think that's the deterrent, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't think they look at it as...
Beneficial.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron, would you like to serve on that subcommittee for the organizing the workshop?
Sure, I'd love to serve on that committee. Sure.
So I'm going to appoint you and Sandra and Nick to serve on that. Is there anyone else who would like to serve on that subcommittee? Okay. So those will be the three commissioners that will organizing the workshop on March 4th.
I'll bring a freshman.
I'd like to have Sandra be the chairman of that.
She must have a donut.
Oh, that's so
good. My husband's a pastry chef.
I know.
You're a chairwoman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Of the subcommittee.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my first introduction to the commission, right? Was I was appointed to the commission 2 years ago.
Right.
That was the first event I went to when I was getting all into this.
I think mine too.
It was very, I think, yeah, we met there.
My first.
It was really nice.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about future agenda items, and I think that certainly will be, if we could have a report back from that subcommittee in our next meeting, that would be very appropriate. Okay. Yes, somebody had a hand up? Okay, great. URM, could you?
Yes, the city, where the department went in the process of updating the building codes to comply with the state update, and that's looking to be adopted before the end of the year. Along with that, there's going to be a component that's the unreinforced masonry.
Oh, that's what that stands for.
Yes, and so we're looking to have a focus group, including the commissioners here. Probably within 5 or 6 weeks to update you on what is all involved, what it entails. So just so you're familiar with the new regulations are as it relates to those buildings that we all know about that are at risk. So we'll be contacting you probably within a few weeks to kind of let you know when we get the dates squared away and see what your availability is to attend that focus group meeting.
Okay, so this is a separate meeting outside of
that's correct.
Group.
That's correct.
So you'll be notified.
And it won't necessarily be an agendized, commission meeting. It'll just be an informal focus group meeting.
Right. Similar to that one that we had after the last meeting. I think it was an educational meeting. That should be similar to that. Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
You're
Any
welcome.
Other comments about that?
And then for my report, been a lot of grumblings about City Hall, the City Hall move,
Yes.
So we have, there's a couple of wheels that are in motion. One is the long term, and so there are efforts are in place to relocate to the 201 building. So that's going to be about an 18-month, two-year process to do all the renovation and what have you for that, too, so that all of the City Hall functions would be there. In the interim, we're looking to move out of this building, hopefully by January, and it's going to involve splitting up the various departments at different locations. And not sure who's going to go where, but it's going to be a combination of the Sabita building.
Which building?
Sabita building.
On Arrowhead.
On Arrowhead. So I think at this point I know that community development, which is our department.
Yes.
Public Works and Parks will be in that building.
Sabita?
Yes.
It's right next to the bank, right? Arrowhead Credit Union?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then also...
The Sabita?
It's across from Social Security.
Yeah, it's across from Social Security.
Oh, okay. That's different. Okay. I was thinking, something.
And then the Vanier building, a portion of that, some of the offices will go there. And then also in the LAFCO building, where the public defender is at. So we'll be split up in those areas, and that'll be at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
So we're moving quickly with those improvements to relocate our staffs there.
So what's the future of this building? Are they going to tear it down? Are they going to reinforce it?
That's those discussions. Right now, the focus has really been
getting us to move people.
Going to 201. Eventually 201.
Eventually 201,
yes.
Because of earthquake?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
So
this building might go waste.
Okay.
The Vanier building. I was wondering around the same time. That's okay.
Evidently, it is. It's okay enough.
It looks.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Well.
But it has raised to a point where the goal is to relocate out of here.
Well, you got cracks in the council chambers. You can see them.
So that's
it's time to go.
That's it, and that's really it for the for my report. If there's any other questions,
our 2 year anniversary for food trucks is this month, October 20th. So that's 2 years that we've been doing food trucks.
Wow!
High fives.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that long.
2 years. Yes. So come on out and join us for lunch.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. So I think this summer, Barb maybe went to Spain about the Harris Building.
That was a while back, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what happened?
Well, he had a good time, evidently.
But did anything come of that conversation?
It was really initial conversations, you know, with the owners, you know, the building there, and it's so now we're in some discussions with them and formulating some agreements. So because has to do with keeping the building in place, and then there's some agreements that need to be in place in terms of the parking and how they're not going to lose parking and where it's going to be put and so forth. And so they're really just kind of putting together something in the semblance of a what I would call a memorandum of understanding of sorts that says, well, okay, here's where we are as the project is more defined and the site plan and so forth. We'll work to make sure that everyone's comfortable.
Because I have probably been asked 10 times in the last month that people have heard it's being torn down. And so I was like, well, I don't know anything about that. We would have talked about it if that was true, you know, but then I thought, whoa, he was going to Spain.
Wasn't it like 6 weeks ago this was discussed at the city council meeting? So like 6 weeks ago.
I know that Mark did provide an update.
Yeah.
So that's where that's come from. Okay.
Yeah. In Virginia also, so they, when they went to Spain, it was on the council meeting.
That Spanish corporation still owns it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as long as I was supplying,
then that's why they're called rumors.
Yes. Well, that's what I was pretty sure it was something silly, but, you know, then sometimes I'm lost to know things.
That's really it for us.
Okay, do we have any agenda items that we want to put? Thank you very much, Oliver.
You're welcome.
I have one other question. What happened with the plaque at the council meeting?
It
didn't
have to go to council.
Oh, it didn't go to council.
Doesn't have to.
Oh, I thought you'd
We're done with that flag.
We're done. Don't mention that again.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry.
We have no flag.
All right, there's a flag. It's been approved.
Yeah, we probably got it off the agenda.
All right. That's great. I know. I just thought he had to go to city council. So no, I just decided.
So for new business, we have just one item.
We have the two items, the workshop and the URM. So we should, and that's just going to be a workshop.
It'll be a focus group. So that's that'll probably occur before our next meeting. So it'll just be an update on.
We are scheduled to meet here then in 2 months.
Yes.
That's December.
Yes.
Okay.
If anything changes, please rest assured, I will let you know.
Yes. Lisa's very good about that.
Yes.
She is.
So does anyone have any specific items in addition to the subcommittee report? We'll have the meeting on December to organize the workshop. Anybody else have any items that they'd like to discuss specifically on the agenda for December or whatever? The
12th.
12th. Yes.
How about can we have a conversation about the focus group that was discussed for those that can't attend it?
Yes, that's
it. Are all commissioners going to be invited to that?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be appropriate, a discussion of the focus group.
One thing I noticed is getting dropped off is the historical City of San Marino Fire Department artifacts. It says from the meeting, continue to the October 10th, 2016 meeting. Is there any update on that, Alan?
Well, I've talked to one of the guys in Murray over there. I don't know why they're going to do it, but all in the hallway there, all the pictures of the fire chief and the old one, they want them down. And I don't know for what reason they would want to remove them. But there was an old fire alarm box stand in there, and one of the coffee tables was the original plaque off the old central fire station on Mountain View there. And they said that they may be putting those into storage, but it's a lot of iffy stuff right now. The old fire truck that the city owns, I guess, is going to go to the remnants of the San Marino Firefighters Union. And it's supposed to go out to Fontana to one of the fire stations out there. Bob Green, a retired county fireman, he's doing some restoration work on Crestline's old engine. And then so they're going to bring that one out there. I don't know what the disposition of ownership of that is at this point, but we're still going back and forth with some stuff, so okay. We'll see what happens.
Thank you very much. So our next meeting will be December 12th, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Through the chair. I would like to adjourn this meeting tonight in honor of Michael Kraft. A great San Bernardino resident, was on the Charter Review Committee. Just a great person all around, really gave his heart and soul to the city. If you agree about the charter change or not, that doesn't matter. He spent 2 years of his life working on that.
He's very passionate.
A very, very passionate man.
Better than our city.
Right. And what made a great councilman, actually. But but I'd like to adjourn the meeting on in memory of him.
He died recently? He passed?
Yes.
Maybe we have a moment of silence in this room.
Until we find out that was not our favorite.
Okay.
Well, I mean.